for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, May the 27th, 1990. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null teaches on intercession, and Rod Johnson finishes the afternoon service.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
So he's bringing heavenly rules to drive out the force of darkness. Hallelujah. And the people that are marching with him are recognizing by their actions, not by their mouth, but by following him and living under the authority of his kingship. Hallelujah. We know it, but I just, you know, it's good. Now, I want you to see who's with him, and then I'll be still on this subject because I'm supposed to finish what I started. But, okay, those that are with him, it says, are called, are chosen, and are faithful. Isn't that right? Here is the gate, the door. No, the gate, the gate. And there's a scripture where Jesus says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and many or few are those that come." You know which one I'm. Few there be that find it. When you become born again, you enter into the gate. But now Jesus is teaching later on with the disciples, and he says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Well, the called are the ones that come here. But then there is a group of Christians that, and that word chosen is a feminine word. And of course the church is feminine. If you study Isaiah and so forth, you'll find that this is representative of the church, the chosen is. And it says, the many and called are few are chosen. And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, I've always used that as a salvation scripture, but in reality, it's not. He's standing at the doorway here of the tabernacle, and he's knocking, and he's saying to the outer court Christians, he's saying, "Will you open the door and let me come in and draw you into me?" For it's Jesus that draws us to him. Hallelujah. So, the called and the chosen is a qualification to march in war with him. But there's one more qualification, and that's where the intercessory prayer comes in. I pray I'm not confusing you. I don't want to get off. But it says that you must be faithful. The meaning of faithful means to have the God kind of faith, the fullness of the faith of God. And that means that I must enter into a place where, under all circumstances and any circumstances, I will obey the commands of God and have complete faith and trust in God that he will get me through whatever situation I am in. Amen. I have absolute, that word absolute keeps ringing in my ears by God. He wants me to be in absolute submission unto him. He wants me to move absolutely only when he calls me. He wants me to stand until he absolutely says you may sit. Hallelujah. And absolute comes here as we enter into the presence by intercessory prayer and so forth. Do you follow me? Oh, glory to God. Woo! We're headed to victory. But it's not going the glory way of flesh. It's going the glory way of crucifixion of the flesh. Jesus went by crucifixion of the cross. Do we think we're greater than Jesus that we should have our flesh and walk into the glory of God? There's no way. Hallelujah. Oh, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. No, I need to shut that chapter. I could go on till 10 o'clock tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let me show you one other thing. Brother Glenn, please, you understand. I know you do. You know, there's... and this goes with deliverance. We'll incorporate this with deliverance. I don't know how, but the Lord will do it. Look at Revelation. Again, I'm not going to touch on your theology, I don't think. Revelation, where am I? 15 or 14? Verse 12. You know, as you go through deliverance, sure I am. Praise the Lord. He knows what he's doing. I just don't know what he's doing. But I'm learning. I scribbled this down. I got to find where I scribbled it. I'll do it from memory. All right. In order to enter into true communion with God. Boy, Doc, I'm so glad you did this. Can I just quickly say one fast thing? While I was fasting and praying about what to share at camp, one of the things the Holy Spirit spoke to me was, bring the tabernacle teaching along. I got it sitting up there. And I said to Glenn, I should almost run and get the overhead for Doc so he could put it up there to minister from. But it's the word for the hour.
Yes, yes.
It is. And we're doing a lot of teaching on that now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, anyhow, one of the requirements to enter in to this place is that we need to be in a pure state before God. Now, in my flesh, I cannot be in a pure state. Isn't that right? My righteousness is as filthy rags. Isaiah said it, and then I think it was Isaiah, and then Paul repeated it later on. I am an unclean vessel. Now, that can be a very depressing thing if I dwell on it. But I can rejoice in this fact, and this is part of deliverance, that Jesus Christ is my righteousness, and we dare never forget this. In Zechariah chapter 3, and I shared this with a brother again last night, it says that I am a brand plucked out of the fire. I have the filthy garments removed from me. All right. And those garments are seen by Satan as filthy yet. And he accuses me as the accuser of the brethren. However, that's all he can do is accuse me. So part of deliverance and maintaining your deliverance is that we must come and bring the righteousness of God, hallelujah, that he has provided, which is the blood, and present it to that area where we have curses in operation. And where deliverance is needed, then the process of walking it out, and that's where I'm going to get to this scripture. The steps of walking it out are found in the fruit of the Spirit, in a portion of them. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, to me, is the divine nature of God in action. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And no matter how hard I try to fake it, nope, you cannot do it. You know that? In every fruit of the Spirit, you can be successful at faking it for a while. It's something you cannot teach. The fruit of the Spirit comes by prayer and living. And it comes through repentance and obedience.
Amen.
That's the only way it comes. I may be able to love many people with the love that should be of Christ for a period of time. But you know that when at home, when great pressure comes, no matter how much you love your mate, we reach an explosion point. And have you ever said to your mate, please don't push me so far. You're pushing me past the breaking point. One of the ground rules of counseling of marriage is to learn where the breaking point is in one another and when to back off. All right? Remember that. But the nature, my wife reminds me of that frequently. But the nature of Christ is that it loves unconditionally, no matter what the conditions are, and it never fails. It's an eternal love that is continuously based on seeing the best and forgiveness. Hallelujah. So you see, we cannot fake it. when pressure gets great. Likewise with the rest of the fruit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that are required in deliverance is this. Once you have repented and made yourself right with God, and we go to our brother's message last night, ask, seek, knock, in that area of breaking the curse. And there's many scriptures that say we are a new person. We won't have time to get into them. But then we come to the point of going home and walking it out. And this is where my cry is for you today. I'm crying to God and saying, give me the ability to encourage them to be equipped to walk in victory and not have to ever come back and pray for deliverance in whatever area that is again, or to ever break that curse again. All right? Because it's at the point when I fail, when I go home, that I become discouraged. And I become downtrodden because I'm not in the fellowship of the saints of like kind. And I don't have the ministering power of the Holy Spirit of many of you where we have the legions of angels ministering that we have here. You know, and that's why we say we go from a mountaintop to a low experience after times like this. And the glory of the Lord is home, is just as much at home as it is in here. But it's manifested in a greater portion because we are dwelling together in unity. And we're obeying God as we forsake not the assembling ourselves together. And we're exhorting one another. We're edifying one another. That's why we have this tremendous power and victory as we come together, and that's why we need it. But we need to carry it with us. We need to carry it with us. The first thing that we learn is that we need to learn the fruit of long suffering. And if you want to take time, but don't lose Revelation, because I'm going to get to that as the last scripture. Colossians 1, 9 to 11 probably could sum it up as quick as any. You know, the Apostle Paul teaches intercessory prayer in Colossians chapter 1, and it's a model that we should all follow. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And now look at this. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Hallelujah. It is a command from God, and it is a walking it out process that we must recognize is not condemnation. But it is actually on the road to victory. And because we have the mind of Christ when we're born again, isn't that right? And because the Word says I'm a new creation, and I am truly, I have the privilege of speaking to the accuser, Satan, and say, accuse me if you have to, but I refuse to accept the accusation because I have the attitude of Christ that says I'm going to walk through this experience with joy. And that's how we learn the secret of Nehemiah saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It came after broken repentance by the people. And he said, it's time to get up and to rejoice and feast and know that the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And true repentance, it starts here as we're born again, but we learn what true repentance is when we approach the most holy place of God, which is the presence of God, and we realize like Isaiah did, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips, and we run back here, and we cry out to God, cleanse me, and the angels of God touch our lips with the coals of fire. And only then can we enter in to the presence of God and be as Isaiah and say, here am I, send me, send me. And send me is bring me closer to you, God. I always thought that send me was something glamorous calling in the flesh. It's not. Send me is lift me higher. Lift me up into your glory. Oh, let me ascend where Moses received the law, that I might hide from your face, but know and bask in the presence of your glory. Hallelujah. And that comes by lying flat before him. As Moses worked laboriously to cry and climb that mountain, so do we work laboriously to lie that he might increase. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to preach. Let's go to the last one, patience. In verse 12 of Revelation chapter 14, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, to set the scene for you just very quickly, the prior verses talk about Babylon has fallen, and Babylon has fallen, and the wrath of God is being poured out. We have a promise from God in Romans and in Thessalonians that the wrath of God will not be poured out upon his saints. Okay. Now, there is a scripture, and we'll not take time to look at it, but there's a scripture in Revelation, I think it's 12, but I'm not sure, or 7, but it says that the saints in the outer court are going to be trampled over by the Gentiles. Okay? And the Gentiles there are symbolic of, they're going to be overcome by the power of the sin in the world and the persecution against the church. Now, the system here of Babylon, which is the church system, has been overthrown by the wrath of God. And it's overthrown because people, and it's happening now, have looked to the church. They have looked for the power of God in the church system, and it has failed miserably. And it's God allowing it to fail so that purity can come forth out of it. Oh, there's so much here. But that's exactly what it is. And as these people are being trampled over, they're not trampled unto death, but it means they're being held down, that they cannot worship, they cannot have the fellowship, and they want more. And they may be forced into death, but that's another subject. But there is a group of people then that have got a calling at this time. And here is the patience of the saints. What do? They keep the commandments of God. Isn't that right? Number one, they keep the commandments of God. A command of God is to be holy. Yes. To be holy means to be set free of all impurities within. To be set free of all impurities comes only through deliverance. The Lord says he searches your hearts. He tries the reins. We read last time how our heart is desperately wicked. But I want us to see that patience is a time period when God is going to search our hearts, and he's going to try our hearts, and he's going to send the hornets in to the heart, and he's going to drive out things that we don't know are there, except that we know that things are not right and we don't have perfect peace with God. All right? And we're searching and we're saying, God, what's wrong in this area of my life? What's wrong in that area of my life? And that's where the beauty of the deliverance ministry comes in. And that's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. And it convicts you under the deliverance ministry. Or a word of knowledge points it out. Or so on and so forth. But then there's the patience of walking it out. Of walking it out. And it's going on while the wrath of God is being poured out. Now, you're sealed at this time, so you have nothing to worry about. You're sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you that in a second as we bring this about, and we'll have deliverance with it, I'm sure. And they keep the faith of Jesus. Who are the ones that marched in war that we read about? The ones that are full of the faith of Jesus. And the saints are the ones that are being tried in their patience area are the ones that maintain the faith in Jesus. It's not an absolute statement of they have the faith of Jesus and it needs not to be fed anymore. Because the principle of God's word is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a growing experience. Isn't that right? We'll attain the fullness of faith someday, but not at this point. All right. Now, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And that always puzzled me. I thought, Lord, how can I be dead and die? Contradictory statement in the natural. And especially be blessed. To me, being blessed is not being dead and dying. And the word blessed means full of joy and happiness and at peace with God. To be dead and die in the Lord says this. Oh, I missed something. Well, that's all right. Are the dead which die in the Lord, for they are the ones that cease from their labors. They rest from their labors. Now, Hebrews, in chapter 5, I believe it is, speaks of the rests of God. But this is not that type of a rest. This word rest means have entered into the times of refreshing, to be re-strengthened, to go on. It's like a break in work. Hallelujah. Glory. So their work is not finished yet. It's a progressive rest that we get as we come into here. And there's a protection that goes with it. And it brings deliverance. And then it says, the progression goes on, their works that are do follow them. And in 1 Corinthians 3:12 and on, it talks about our works being tried in the fire. And we'll not lose our... We better read that as I bring things to an end here. I don't know if I made any sense to you this afternoon or not. But look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You've been fed so much good and you're being brought into such heights. I can only pray that this will give you strength as you go. But I want you to see something here to carry with you. Now, the works that they were talking about there are pure works. And here's what the pure works are. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire is the purging of God. The purging of God is started to fall already, but it is refining and driving away anything of flesh that I do that's not of the command of God. You follow me?
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. And if you study the Great Tribulation, I may as well throw it in, it falls on the church that's an overcomer, but not successful. The Great Tribulation does. Not the wrath of God, no, but the Great Tribulation does. And those that survive are the ones that are in the Spirit, totally protected. Hallelujah. And how you choose to interpret that doesn't matter. The important thing is that you're above the conditions of the fire. But now it says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Let me ask you something. What greater reward can you receive than to be in the perfect presence of Jesus Christ? That's a reward. I don't give two hoots and a holler about golden crowns, quite frankly. I'm going to cast them at Jesus' feet if I would get one, because I don't deserve it. It's by the grace of God that I even got saved. All right. But to me and to you, the greatest reward that we can have is to come here, hallelujah, into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, and nothing of flesh can enter in there. And the only way you can reach that is through intercessory prayer and deliverance and being set free. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, the last verse that I'll bring you is this. You saints rejoice while we're being purified. Because the next verse says, if any man's work shall be burned, and I've got so many that have been burned, at a Christian school. I thought it was the most valiant religious thing I could do. I love kids, 30-some of them. The business was putting more than half of them through school, on and on. It looked like it was a great banner, you know? And what an ugly experience it turned out to be. Almost anyhow, I mean, the fruits of it were rewarding to me. But when we brought it to the Lord and we just interceded in tongues one night, God shut the school down within a week. And he said, it is a work of your flesh. I mean, that was a tragic experience. And I could go on and on with stories like this of what me thinks me should do. But in the good religious works, but the proof is in this. When the pressure comes and the fire of God, we don't lose our salvation. Our works are burned. But by he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hallelujah. So, as we enter into the Holy of Holies people, we become valiant warriors worthy only by the blood of Jesus to stand in the presence to do warfare against the Antichrist system, which is all spiritual warfare.
That's right.
It's not foot warfare, it's spiritual warfare. And we enter in here and all of our fleshly, what me thinks, make no difference. Only hearing the voice of the King. Only hearing the voice of the King. Hallelujah. Out here is my emotions. This is my soul realm, if I can put it there, where I can be attacked. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit here. I speak in tongues here. I got that when I broke through. But I still don't have the victory, and I go back out here and I waver back and forth. And I pick up harassing devils, or my iniquities overtake me at times. And that's where we need the deliverance that we're getting here. And until I am dealt completely with on them, I cannot enter in to the presence of God to do warfare. There's another scripture in Revelation that says we're going to be beheaded. I often wondered how I'd be any good to God being beheaded. And what he really says there is, not this one. There's going to be some that are already. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I hope I don't have to go through that. To be beheaded is to have my way, my authority, become his authority. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be beheaded for the cause of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, there's two things, and I'm going to wrap this up right now, but if I stick to my notes, I can do it with much better. That as I'm really running into in the area of deliverance that I want to draw your attention to as we close, and their roots, and they're destroying the world and America and the church, if they can. And you have to have deliverance to get rid of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 41 to 43, take my word for it now to save time, it talks about roots coming from gall and wormwood. Gall and wormwood stand for drugs and alcohol. And Isaiah 47, 12 to 15 tells us that those that partake of that bring a curse upon them. Those, and if you trace that, the drugs and alcohol, you can trace it from Genesis through Revelation, and it is a curse that is evident to destroy the land. I think I did a teaching here once on it, if I remember right. But anyhow, and gall and wormwood in Numbers chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, are presumptuous sins. In other words, they are sins that man knows better to do, but he willingly rejects the voice of God and says, I'm going to do it. Now, we got to remember that we suffer sins from our forefathers. So you take the drug situation, and babies are being born today, drug addicts. Isn't that right? And but it's because parents have willfully rejected the call from God. Now, I personally believe that we shouldn't blame the government. We need to blame the church for becoming weak-kneed. And under the control of the spirit of Jezebel, which says, do it my way rather than do it God's way. So instead of us blaming Satan for the conditions that we're living in, it has to come about for God to set up his kingdom. I rejoice on that end. But in reality, it was us or our ancestors that failed by not going into the presence of the Holy of Holies. They became lazy and they got happy with just the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the outer court experience, and they didn't stick to the righteousness of God. And so people were forced to go to get their answers someplace else to escape the pressures of the world. The pressures of the world can be escaped by going into the presence of Jesus. But what do drugs and alcohol do? They lift you up into a euphoria that takes you away from the pressures. One young man on cocaine I'm working with now, he says, I take cocaine because it makes me feel important. Another one tells me, I don't have to think about the ugly things going on at home. And on it goes.
My God.
All right. That brings a curse upon us. The other one is bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is, talks about bitterness as a root. And bitterness comes from anger not dealt with, if I want to wrap it up in a hurry. And anger comes from situations where we lack communications with one another. Isn't that right? And lacking of communications takes place because, again, we don't have the love of Christ ministering to one another. Some of the ways that this bitterness root has crept in, and see if this doesn't minister to you as we wrap this up. Church family. Boy, I'm running into this more and more and more. I was the victim of it for a while. You get bruised by a group of believers. And instead of recognizing it as a growth experience, you let it minister defeat to you. I don't see the Christ in it. I wanted to share, maybe we will, on the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord was with Moses when Aaron and Miriam turned on him. And it was the glory of the Lord that ministered that Moses was right and settled the church dispute. So we need to see in our brother and sister relationship in the family of God the glory of the Lord. We better find out whether we're Aaron, Miriam, or Moses, and then listen to the voice of God, whichever one we are. But let me tell you what's happening. Bitterness is creeping in because we don't know the power of God to deal with it. And we try to control it ourselves. And that's the Jezebel spirit. Family relationships is another area. And part of the rebellion of this age is because dad won't be dad. And he's forcing mother to be dad. You hear me, men? The awesomeness of the calling and the privilege of being a man is so great that we have to live at the Holy of Holies. If you're going to fulfill your position where God would have you to be the head of your house, whether you be single or married, it's awesome. I try not to get emotional on that because it's such a vast subject too. But hear me out. And because the man has fallen down and given in, the woman has had to assume roles that are not of her. Not assigned to her by God. And instead of her having the example of the husband turning to God, she should turn to God at a time like that, but the chaos of the hour and the spirits that are running rampant cause her to turn to other things, and she controls the situation in the home. She wasn't designed by God to be the authority in the home. The man was, and she was designed to be a helpmeet, one fit to work with the authority in the home. So the children rebel. It has to be. I could never have run a trucking business the way we think we can run our homes. I've been bankrupt in a week. Another area. Huh? Yeah. Another area is sins of uncleanness goodness sakes, really, I'm closing. It's 10 after. But the unclean sins are the sexual sins that are going on. I'm working with a man right now who caught his children, age 18, 17, 11, and 9, playing doctor. I'm being nice as I say this. He disciplined his children, and they should have been disciplined. His children, 9-year-old, went to Boys Cub Scouts the next day and said to the leader, "Boy, my dad really whooped me last night. He's freaking out." Cub Scout leader undressed them and checked for bruises, couldn't find them, but became alarmed, called the school. The school watches the child for 2 weeks, couldn't really find anything other than this little fellow at age 9 had a persuasion to tell stories. He had a spirit of lying about him. Needed to be delivered by his dad. His dad didn't know deliverance. Made up some stories. Social service was called in. Social service had just hired a lady who was abused by her father. This lady had a vendetta against men. She immediately, without investigation, told the children what to say. The 18 and the 17-year-old daughters had their pride injured because they were caught, turned on their dad. The man is in jail. I led him to the Lord. I'm in the process of, I can't go into all the details, but he was turned on by his lawyer, and it's a mess. And he's living under the threat of serving a long time in prison for disciplining his children. Now, what's happening in his home is this. I become a big father or a grandpa to those two boys whenever I'm home. And they've accepted the Lord, repented of their sin, and they're willingly going to the court system to testify they lied. But I want to draw your attention to one other thing of how sick things are in the area of family and uncleanness and so forth. It's happened because there is so much incest going on today. And there is so much promiscuity and the freedom of it. Now, because we live in an area where we don't have a church per se, we get a lot of people that say, "I want to get married," and when it's a good opportunity to lead them to the Lord. But do you know what their excuse is? The latest one was, "We want to get married. We've been living together for 3 years, and yes, I'm pregnant, but that's not the reason why. We saved enough money to build a new house, so we feel we're ready to get married." And they think it's a matter-of-fact way of life. That's where the moral decay has entered. This will fit into deliverance in a minute. But to finish the story, this little 9-year-old boy was reprimanded by his mother in front of me. And he said, "I don't have to listen to you, Mother." And she caught herself and she said, "That's right, he doesn't." Well, I could tell you many other stories like this. So I reprimanded the kid. I'm not going to sit back and let any little kid do that. No way. He knows I love him. And afterwards he cried and he said he was sorry. But he had a hard time sitting down for a couple minutes. And I could have got thrown in for that too, but he knew I love him. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you that's where it at. And by the way, he hasn't skipped school once since we led him to the Lord. And that's 3 months ago. And I'm so excited about that because now he and I get to go on a fishing trip together. Hallelujah. Well, another area is in our vocational area. Things happen in our jobs where we let our feelings, so to speak, get hurt. We need to let Christ show and not be so concerned. We need to work unto Christ with that attitude all the time. Let that be with you. And then bitterness creeps in, so much, from not forgiving self and not forgiving others. I've just scraped the surface, but I wonder if we haven't hit home with some of them. Huh? Have we hit home? I know we have. We're carrying hurt. I can see it on some faces out there even. The answer is to come here and not be a phony. Jesus said, "Quit being a Pharisee and bring forth fruit, meat for repentance." You'll keep your deliverance and you'll go on to victory if you have a sincere repentance. Peter had two types of faith and repentance. The first was Jesus I'm convinced in my heart that I will go all the way for you. The second was, the pressures came, and he couldn't go all the way for Jesus, and he went out and had true repentance. He wept bitterly, and he went on silently to be called by God to preach one of the greatest revival sermons there were. But you know where he wept bitterly? He wept bitterly right here. We're used to a cheap salvation here. Confess your sin. We're more interested in getting 500 souls so it looks good in our rolls to say I'm sorry, or in our zeal to lead someone into Christ, we force them into repentance and we say, if you just say you're sorry for your sins, Jesus will come into your heart. And that's not true. That's a lie. And we're opening ourselves up, as Sister Sutter said this morning, we open ourselves up to the psychic realm. You know that feeling of getting saved that happens to a communist when they join the Communist Party many times. It's a euphoric, satanic. That's Bowerheads. God have understanding. Lord, we'll not apologize for things. We accept them that we walked in your will, but we don't understand that it's your business. Would there be any here this afternoon that have been convicted by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you've not really had a true repentance before God? You've probably prayed the sinner's prayer. You may be even speaking in what you think is tongues, but you've never had a true brokenness over the sin in your life. You've never really wept before God and said, God, I don't care what the price is, separate me unto you that I might be full of the faith of God. Quickly raise a hand. That's right. There's more. I know there is. Come on. You've been brought into cheap Pentecost, I call it. Cheap salvation. You've been robbed. You've been stolen from. That's right, brother. The Holy Ghost is working on you. There's some more. Shalatabarianda. That's right. You've never really been broken before Jesus. And I'm looking up to you with courage that say, yes, that's where I was. And I'm saying, to God be the glory, and the power of the Holy Spirit is coming on you now. How many of us haven't proclaimed as Peter did, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And we've walked on, and we've been pressed where we've had to stand up for Jesus or deny Jesus. And the pressure has been so great that we've denied. And through our actions of sin, whether they be controlled or not, right now I'm not concerned about. But through the actions of that sin, we have said, I deny you, Jesus, by acting in Satan's way. I need true repentance in that area of my life. I'm dealing in an area here where you're fighting with particular sins in your life, where they're harassing you continuously, and they're out of control. At times you can control them. It's like an aspirin with a headache. How many are here this afternoon that would say, I've got areas in my life like that, and I need to deal with them? Come on, lift your hand if it is so. Oh, I dare say we probably all would have to. Come on, don't lie before God. But don't do it because I said it. Let it be the Holy Ghost convicting you. Otherwise, it's soul ties, and I don't want it. I'm sick of that cheapness. How many others would say, yes, God? Demonic oppressing, possession, flesh, that's secondary right now. The real thing is, it's there and it needs to be dealt with. And I am to the point, God, where I'm like Peter. I'm going to go weep bitterly because I hate it. And I'm going to take it to that altar. How many more would say, that's where I am? Shandalalalabashiyanda. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I need a saint that's a lady that has discernment of spirits to come here. Come on, there's one here in the body of Christ. There has to be. Huh? Please. I would like you to take that lady. Thank you. I just keep calling on you. My wife's not with me, and I need help. Young man, I've got a love for you, and you know it. We'll talk in a minute, all right. You're a precious brother, and you don't need to live under them conditions you do anymore. You're going to be free in just a little bit. Just be patient. The rest of us that raised our hand, I want you to pray with me right now. But don't you pray because I'm leading you in it. You pray because your heart is rent before God. You're broken before God. You're convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you're so tied to me and the emotions of this situation, and I'm sick of it. I don't want that with you. Let's pray. Dear God, I ask that you would work by the miraculous power of your Holy Spirit. The cry of my heart is that we would just lay before the altar and weep until we have completely released. And Lord, it's not possible right now. You know conditions. So I'm asking you, God, to work a godly sorrow in these people. They have come and with an openness, oh God. We didn't plan on this meeting turning out this way. But as you have led it this way, now, God, we bring to you our godly sorrow. And Lord, even though it's not the way we think it should be, I'm asking for a conviction, a repentance, and a true conversion, and a hate for the sin to fill the people, to be replaced by the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, we come that way now into your presence. Pray with me. Dear Father, here I am. I stand naked before you. I truly desire to be changed. I want a pure nature. I want to be delivered from all uncleanness. Father, set me free from these sins. And you say them to yourself and the Father. Father, I have confessed these sins unto you. I ask you to cover them by the blood of Jesus. I desire to stand clean and pure. I receive the forgiveness by your grace because of the power of the blood. And I thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Because now I stand free. I truly am a brand plucked from the fire. You cannot touch me, Satan. I refuse to acknowledge you in that area. I am a new creation with the mind of Christ. Father, help me live with the mind of Christ attitude. It is ultimate victory. And as I walk to that victory, help me to dwell upon things that are pure, that are lovely, and of good report. Minister heavenly things to me, Father. Remind me that I sit with you, Jesus, in the heavenly places, above the authority of Satan. Fill me with your spirit of joy. And strengthen me in my patience area. And minister to my faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I pray to God that the areas that we called out, and this is not real type deliverance that we're used to, but you were touched by a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's where deliverance is at, and as we brought it. I want to pray with you. Should I close for dinner? Good. I'll turn this off.
There's just been a phone call received. A brother, Frank Edwards, who is known to the camp meeting people here, has just suffered a major heart attack, and they're looking our way for prayer. You believe God can answer? Do you believe God will answer? Hallelujah. Brother Johnson, let's just agree together right now. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, lead right out. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word salvation that sums up healing, that sums up deliverance, that sums up reconstruction, that sums up totalness in you. We present this brother to you in this hour, Lord, and we ask that you would bring healing to life in his body, Lord, that you would heal his heart and strengthen it, O God. Would you cause his faith to swell, that he would sense the presence of the healing power of God, and that he would grab the hem of the garment, O Lord, and that he would flow into the healing power, and that he would be free from anything of that heart attack. In Jesus' name we proclaim it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know if there's a couple of men that would do this, but I would like for a couple of you, I don't care who you are, we go down through the camp and invite everybody to service tonight. Two of you go together. Down through all the people, down through the campground. You in the plaid shirt and the gentleman behind you, you two, would you mind doing that? You two, I would appreciate it very much if you would go call on everybody and invite them 7 o'clock to the service tonight. Father, we thank you for the food that's prepared for us. Make it health and strength. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's flowing through this place and for the presence of the Lord that is present here and will be present as we gather back this evening to glorify thee and to hear the word of the Lord declared in our midst. Amen.
Amen.
Glory, Zion is a place of singing. Zion is a place of joy. Zion is the glory of the Lord. Zion is a place of mercy. Zion is a place of praise. Zion is the dwelling of the Lord. So let us climb the hill of Zion to the city of the living God. City of the living God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.